I am the resurrection and the life. I will resurrect you out of darkness. I will resurrect you from destruction. I will resurrect you out of debt. I will resurrect you from wandering around aimlessly. For in me, you will find purpose. In me, you will find truth. And in me, you will find your way, says the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for the hero today. And we just want to say welcome to those who are watching and listening to us abroad. I mean, we get some people watching us that can't come. And so, you know, we do the live video, and that's getting better and better. Amen. So praise the Lord. Well, I want to talk to you today about a young man who had a great opportunity to do great things for God. His name is Timothy. Amen? And Timothy was involved in the ministry. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ, whom God used mightily. He never had a bad testimony. He got saved at a young age. He grew up in a family that served God. And he was exposed to a great, great mentor in the Apostle Paul. And that just propelled him to do great things for God. He had the privilege of being mentored by a general in the body of Christ. And he called him to be a pastor and a missionary, an evangelist, and he served in different capacities. And because he was faithful in little things, God gave him bigger responsibilities. Amen? Can you be faithful? If you're faithful in little things, you think God will increase your responsibility? Right? You know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And some people are saying, oh God, don't give me a whole lot. Well, God is the giver, and He gives people gifts. Amen? Now, Timothy's name means honored of God, which is really interesting because you're going to see how that works throughout his life. And things that made Timothy a hero, there's four things. He had rich faith. I'm going to say rich faith. All right? Not broke faith, but rich faith. Right? Then he was a good worker. Everybody say a good worker. All right? If you're a good worker, you know, the Bible promotes work. But it doesn't say that work is your source. Right? But God gives you strength so that you can work. Isn't that awesome? Then thirdly, he had impeccable character. Say character. All right? And then he was an energetic encourager. Everybody say an encourager. You know, God needs some encouragers because there are some, you're going to encounter some people who need courage. And that's what encouragers do. They instill you with courage. All right? And let me just share something funny with you. All right? Can I do that? This is how to get into heaven. There was a man died, and he met St. Peter at the pearly gates. And Peter said to the man, here's how it works. You need to have 100 points to get into heaven. You tell me about all the good things you've done. They're all worth a certain number of points. If your total is 100 or more, you can come in. Well, says the man, I was happily married to the same woman for 52 years. I never looked at another woman. I was attentive and loved her dearly. That's great, said Peter. That'll be 2 points. Says the man. This is going to be harder than I thought. Well, I attended church regularly and volunteered my time and tithed faithfully. Wonderful, says St. Peter. That's worth another point. 1 point, says the man. Okay, okay. I was involved with the prison ministry for 25 years. I went into the prison at least monthly and shared Jesus with them. Wow, says St. Peter, that's another 2 points. Only 2 points, says the man. At this rate, it'll only be by the grace of God that I'll ever get into this place. Bingo, says St. Peter, that's 100 points. Come on in. It is only by the grace of God. Amen. Timothy's father was Greek, and his mother was Jewish, but she was also a believer in Christ Jesus. Now, that may have caused some problems for Timothy growing up. You know, two backgrounds, trying to mix the two together. I know nobody has to face that, do they? Amen. He was young, but God connected him with great men. Amen. See, when you give your life to God, you don't know what God can do with it. But he can do great things. You know, if he can feed thousands upon thousands with a little boy's lunch, what can he do with your life when you give it to him? Amen? So make it a point to give your life to God today. And Timothy may have been challenged. He may have been challenged by fear because he was encouraged to be strong many times. And he had great responsibility. How could this man take his talents and do something great for God? You know, every hero faces challenges. Amen. Anybody in here today that's never faced a challenge? And if I see any hands, we're going to pray for you at the end of the service. Because you're not living in reality. Amen. We are challenged. And because he was young, Timothy probably had people that looked down on his age. You know, when Pastor Fiona and I, when we started here, pastoring here 14 years ago, there were times when we were the youngest people here, and yet we were in charge. Amen? But there were things that Timothy did that people would not despise his youth. He just did what God wanted him to do. He was a good example in a lot of areas. And he just let his light shine through, and therefore his age wasn't an issue. Amen? So, let's talk about Timothy's rich faith. All right? As a follower of Christ, God wants you to live and walk by faith, not by sight, not by your senses, not by your feelings, not by the opinions of others, not by your experiences. Your experiences are not your mentors. They're not your teachers. Oh, but I've learned some things from my experience. That's great, but they're still not your mentors or your teachers. Amen? We have the greatest teacher of all called the Holy Spirit. And his job is to bring us into all truth. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. And you might even see a miracle today. We might get done early. I say a miracle because, you know, when I preached my very first sermon, it was to the singles group of Grace Fellowship Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, my very first time, I went for 45 minutes. Amen? When you preach the word, you never run out of things to say. Right? So, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's look at verse 2. Paul, he took Timothy under his wing, and he even wrote him 2 letters in the Bible. And he says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now, he was his son in the faith. In other words, Timothy was a convert of Paul. Paul went and preached to an area, and Timothy heard the gospel, and he got saved, and he considered Paul a spiritual father, and Paul considered him a spiritual son. My beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God and Father, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of you in my prayers day and night. You know, it's awesome when someone is praying for someone else. Paul was celebrating the fact that he was praying for Timothy day and night. See, you're here today because someone somewhere along the line was praying for you. Right? All of us are the beneficiaries of someone's prayers. Praying is important. And notice verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Oh man, I don't get to see Paul today. That's so sad. You know, they had a close relationship. Look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, or the genuine faith, or the sincere faith. What was Paul memorizing about Timothy, or remembering about Timothy? He was remembering his faith. How he believed God, how he trusted God. That is in you. See, there was evidence, both inside and outside, that Timothy had rich faith. He was a man of faith. He was a man who believed God. All right? Where did he get this faith? Which dwelt first in your grandmother. Oh, my goodness. Thank God for believing grandmas. Amen? Now, I had the privilege of leading one of my grandmothers to the Lord. She didn't know the Lord. She was a good woman. She was a hard worker. I mean, you could eat off of her kitchen floor. She kept that thing spotless. And I remember it was about a year before she died. Her and I were sitting at her counter, and I was telling her about Jesus, and tears were running down her face. And we prayed, and it was about a year after that that she went to heaven. Amen? But Timothy had a grandmother. There was faith in his grandmother. How many know that the best thing you can pass on to your family line is faith? You ought to have a heritage of faith. Amen? And maybe you didn't start off in faith, but it changes now. Right? And you start being a household of faith. And you promote faith. You promote believing God. Amen? Anytime that my boys ask me for something, as a father, I want to give them what I can, but I want to teach them that God is the source, not me. Amen? So when they asked me for something, I said, okay, let's pray. You pray, and we'll agree, and God will supply. And you know what? He does. God is good. Amen? And my boys have seen the goodness of God. They have experienced the goodness of God. They have had needs that they prayed about, and they saw God meet those needs. You know what? That does wonders for your faith. Okay, it was, first of all, Timmy's grandma. Then, Lois, your mother. I mean, your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that is in you also. So from the grandmother to the mother to the son. Amen? Faith was passed on from one generation to the next generation. I bet when Timothy had a need, his grandmother said, now, Timmy, have a cookie, and let's just pray to God, and let's just believe God for what he wants you to do. Okay, Grandma Lois, your cookies are so good, I love them anyway. You know, when your mother was young just like you, I was teaching her the same things. You know, how many Bible stories did Grandma Lois tell to her grandson, Timothy, that inspired him to have faith too? See, he wasn't riding on the coattails of someone else. He had faith inside him too, but his faith was inspired by his grandparents and his mother, right? We don't know about his father. And then verse 6 says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. You know, some of us who grew up in a heritage of faith, we kind of let it slide a little bit, you know? And sometimes we got to stir up that faith, amen? Say, I got to stir it up. Look at your neighbor and say, stir it up. Yeah, you got to put your faith on the hot burner, not the cold burner, right? You don't put your faith in the fridge. You put it in the oven at 360 degrees, right? You know, because sometimes we get lax. Oh, I know that. You hear a scripture. I know that. Really? Well, then if you know it so well, it ought to be showing up in your life. Amen? Oh, I guess I don't know it so well. But you know what? That's why church is important. You come to church so that you get encouraged and built up in your faith. Why? Because we want your faith strong. We want it to last long, right? We don't want your faith to be a hop, skip, and a jump. We want you to enjoy the journey. Amen? So Timothy had a great heritage of faith. He was Paul's son in the faith. Amen? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 4. Paul is telling Timothy here, he said, in verse 3, I besought you to abide still at Ephesus. Some say that Timothy was pastor at Ephesus. And when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some of them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Say, God wants my faith edified. What is that word edified? It means built up. It comes from the word edifice, right? It has a good foundation. It has walls. It has a roof. And it has no limit. Say, my faith has no limit. Right? Your faith is limited to your knowledge of God. And the more knowledge you have of God, the more your faith can increase and grow. Right? So, he taught, you know, Timothy he would put things in order, right? Oh, you guys are talking about too many genealogies and you're too many questions. Let's build our faith. Amen? Timothy went around and had faith seminars, right? How to build your faith, how to keep your faith strong. What can you do with your faith? Those are probably some of the messages that Timothy taught. I don't know. Amen? And let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy. Look at verse 5. Well, we already looked at that. Let's look at verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me, what? Faithful. You know how people get into the ministry? God counts you faithful. Amen? What does it mean to minister? It simply means to serve. All right? So Timothy, he went around, he lived by faith, and he taught faith. Amen? It's a lot easier to teach it when you live it. It's harder to talk about it when you don't do it. Right? Because then that makes you something else. Amen? All right. So, look at verse 19. Verse 19 of the 1 Timothy chapter 1. Holding faith and what? Did you know that a good conscience enhances your faith? How you live, how you treat people, all that has to do to either build up or tear down your faith, right? Faith and a good conscience work together, a godly lifestyle, you know? Someone who has faith is not going to rob banks. You were not in faith when you robbed that bank. Let me tell you. You know, people who are in faith don't cheat on tests. People who have faith, they don't lie. Now you're stepping on my toes, Pastor. Well, hopefully the Lord gave you steel-toed boots today. But he was a person of faith. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know what's going to happen in the last days? People are going to depart faith. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the what? What are they going to do? What's going to cause them to depart from faith? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Those are lying demons. Those are that word means roving around as a tramp. That word means an imposter or misleader. That word means acting under feigned or not sincere, not genuine. It means to act a false part. So people are going to leave faith because they're going to embrace things that aren't true according to God's word. See, God's word has the final say as to what is true or not. Right? When it comes to marriage, there's one true definition of marriage, the Bible. A man and a woman. Can you say amen? And no one has the right to change that definition because God was the one established it, and he's been around a whole lot longer than anybody else. And besides, it's his creation. He gets to name it. Right? So if someone tries to name it something else other than what God says, it's a lie. Don't buy the lie or you'll fry. So in the last days, that's the days that we're living in right now. Some, everybody say some, they're going to leave the faith. They're going to stop believing in God and start believing in nonsense. They're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What's a doctrine? That's a teaching. They're going to speak lies in hypocrisy. They're going to have their conscience, what? Seared. I'll never forget one of my professors in Bible school. He was an old-time Pentecostal preacher. And every time he'd get excited about God, his face would turn red, his hair was white, and he had some extra skin under his chin. And that would just, when he started to preach, that thing would just vibrate like a turkey, you know? And you know he was getting on, he would just go like this. His name was Doc Horton. And his class was story time. Let me tell you, he would tell stories. Well, he told this story, and his wife was noticing a bald spot on his head. And his wife said, I did not marry a bald man. Not that anything's bad with bald. It was just her preference. Okay? So she read an article where heat could stimulate the hair follicles. So he would go and work and minister and preach, and he would come home. His wife would get out the iron. Now, this was back in the 40s. Okay? And she put a towel on his head and she would iron his head to try to stimulate growth. True story as told by Doc Horton. I heard it in his class. Well, it was going good. Except one day, when she was ironing his head, she touched his ear with the iron. He said, I knew what it meant to be seared with a hot iron that day. A conscience that is seared has no ability to discern between what is right and wrong. That's what it's going to be like for some in the last days. They're going to tell you to abstain from meals which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. So we don't want to depart from faith, do we? We want to continue in it. All right, let's go to number two. Timothy had a great work ethic. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. How do we know you're a great worker? Because it's what your co-workers say. You know, a man could say he's the greatest husband in the world, but okay, let me see what your wife says. That's the only way that we can determine if what you're saying is true. Amen? Same thing with a wife. You could say you're the greatest wife ever. Okay, well, what does your husband say? Amen? What were they saying about Timothy? Acts 16, verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of, which was what? Well reported of by the brethren. In other words, other brethren, other believers, didn't have bad things to say about Timothy. They had good things to say about Timothy. Why would someone have good things to say about you? Because you're good, right? You do good things. When you live a life of faith, your faith shows through in everything you do, right? Whether you're baking cookies or washing dishes or driving the car. Uh-oh. Now, I know that we are all tempted to have moments of carnality in the car, right? Anybody besides me ever talk to someone in another car that can't hear you? They can't hear what you're saying anyway, but yet you gotta relieve your mind and you gotta say what you gotta say, even though they can't hear you. I've been guilty of that. And I'm catching myself. Oh, well, they can't hear me, so why am I wasting my words? Amen. Okay. It was well reported by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium, him. Would Paul have to go forth with him? In other words, Paul said, I see something in this young man. I want him to travel with me. I want him to minister with me. Okay? And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that they all knew that his father was a Greek. And verse 4, as they went through the cities, now Timothy and Paul, they delivered them the decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Amen? Oh, if we ever needed some Timothys today. Amen? He would go and he would encourage faith and bring increase. Amen? And he got to travel with the Apostle Paul. He got to minister with the Apostle Paul. Right? How cool is that? I mean, God is just so awesome. But that's his work ethic. All right? He's a good worker. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy to come to him, with all speed, they departed. Timothy got to work with Silas. Can you imagine working with Silas? Hey, Silas, what was it like in Philippi to be delivered from that jail? Oh, let me tell you. He got to work side by side with the guy who was in prison. And he got delivered, Paul and Silas, right? He got along with a lot of people. He worked with Erastus, who was a treasurer of a city, and he worked with several other people. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It gives us a little bit more insight as to what kind of work Timothy did. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verses 16 and 17. Wherefore, I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So when Paul would send Timothy to places, it would be like a little Paul going to these places, because Timothy represented Paul. Timothy taught what Paul taught. Timothy emphasized what Paul emphasized. Timothy treated people just like Paul treated people. Why? I mean, he could have used that as an opportunity. Listen to me, folks. I travel with the Apostle Paul. You better listen to me. He didn't approach it that way. I mean, he just went and served and did his thing. And Paul had enough confidence in him to send him. All right? Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 19, Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Does that not speak volumes of how Timothy worked? I mean, Paul felt like he was the only one like-minded that would represent his heart. You know, I kind of feel that way about Pastor Tony, our youth pastor. Amen? I'm confident that when he's on assignment for the youth, he represents me well. You know why? Because he trained with me for 2 years before we handed him the reins of the youth group. Now, you got to understand, Pastor Tony works a full-time job. He has a wife and 3 sons. Amen? And there'll be times when he comes here, you know, straight from work to minister to the youth and to the young people. But you know what? I know his heart. And I would be confident if I sent him to go somewhere and do something, he would represent me well, just like Paul was confident in Timothy. Amen? So he had a good work ethic. He was a good worker. Say, good worker. See, rich faith, good worker. All right? Number 3, he had impeccable character. All right? Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you know, Timothy is not just a man who's written about in the Word. He's just like you and I. Say, Timothy's just like me. You know, he really is. God took his life and his faith, and he did something great with it. He obeyed God. He followed God. Can you follow God? Can you obey God? Do you have abilities that God's given you? Can you use those abilities for the kingdom? Then God can do for you just like he did for Timothy. I want you to see that. I want you to see yourself as a hero. Go into a phone booth and come out super Christian. Able to fly through the Word faster than a word processor. Armed with the armor of light. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, I'm getting carried away here. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right. Paul wrote to Timothy, verse 8, he said, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is what? Profitable in how many things? Do you think Timothy got a revelation of godliness? I mean, he had a testimony of growing up in church. He had a testimony of his grandmother and mother serving God, and now he's serving God. But he got a revelation of what Paul said, that godliness is profitable, so he developed his godliness. Amen? He developed his insight into God's voice. He recognized God's voice. Therefore, you know, when you yield to God, there's no stopping you now. Amen? I mean, God will take you to places. You know, by the way, in 2017, something awesome is going to happen. Both Pastor Fiona and me are preaching in different countries. Pastor Fiona is going to preach in Guyana, and I'm going to go preach in Kenya, Africa. Amen? I'm going in February. She's going in March. Amen? And while I'm gone, she takes care of things, and then when she's gone, I take care of things. Amen? That's how we roll. Right? That's how we roll. We got each other's backs so that we can do what God's put in our heart to do. Amen? So, go down to verse 11. These things command and teach. Notice he didn't say these things recommend and suggest. He said command and teach. Let no man despise youth. Young people, this is a message for you. Don't let people say, well, you're too young. You can't do that, partner. You're too young. Got a little John Wayne in there. Young people are going, John who? See, that's what you call reaching two generations combined into one, right? I'm speaking to the young people when I'm talking like John Wayne, and it brings the old people right there. Well, listen up, partner. All right. Okay, if you don't want people to despise you, he tells you, be an example of the believers in word. Listen, you got to know your word. All right? Young people, you want to rise to the top? This is how you get there. This is the way to the top right here. You got to be an example in the word. Example in conversation, how you live. Example in love, how you love. Example in spirit, that's enthusiasm. Amen? Oh. Y'all missed an opportunity there to demonstrate some enthusiasm. I better prophesy to the wind to somebody's dead bones. And then you got to be an example in faith and in purity, right? You can't just listen to anything. You can't just watch anything. You got to watch what goes in. But Timothy tapped into this. That's why he had impeccable character. He developed his character. It was proven in other people and working with others. People always talk good about Timothy. Why? Because he had good character. Here's what someone said. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Character ought to be like a tea bag. You don't notice it until it's in hot water. Then the character that was already there shows up. What kind of character are you? Amen? And then finally, number four. He was an energetic encourager. When Timothy preached, he put a smile on your face. When you were in a service that Timothy was conducting, you would leave better off than when you came in. Why? Because he was an enthusiastic, he was an energetic encourager. Come on, you can do it. I know you can. I'm pulling for you. Woohoo! You know, maybe he was sanguine. I don't know. Sanguines are our cheerleaders, if you didn't know that. He was a man of proven character. He operated in godliness. He talked about having a good conscience and faith. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul gave him a list. A minister's character is more important than anything else he possesses. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Woo! I like that. For 14 years, I've been doing a good work. It's the office of a bishop. A bishop then must be blameless character. Husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. You can come over to my house and visit, and I'll teach you a lesson. Amen? I've got to be given into hospitality. That has to do with character. People who don't have character, they don't want other people around them. Right? But I welcome you. Come on. What you see here is what you get. Not given to wine. No striker. Well, that's important. Not greedy of filthy lucre. What's filthy lucre? That's money. That has to do with character. Patient, not a brawler. Come on. You know, what's that tiger, that cartoon? Come on, put up your dukes, come on. Listen, if you came to get counsel from us, we would not use the Bible as a weapon. Amen? We would help you. We'd give you advice of what the Bible says to do. Not a brawler. Not a fighter. One that rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man doesn't know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You see how important God emphasizes these things? We've got to be people of character. All right? Besides, I'm not even on character. I'm on encouraging. But I don't know, someone needed some extra work on their character. Let me wrap this up here. I'm going to get done early today. I'm going to wrap it up in the next couple minutes. You're going to see a miracle. First Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians, right before Timothy. First Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. He was talking about Timothy. Timothy was a heart strengthener. All right? What does an encourager do? An encourager continues in what they learned and what they've been assured of, and they live for God. All right? They inspire others with their example. They don't have to say, look at me, but you're always looking at them. Amen? Godly encouragement develops strong faith. Godly mentorship multiplies the effects of godly encouragement. When Paul and Timothy worked together, churches increased. They became better. They were stronger. They were the $6 million church. Stronger, faster, able to do more. Encouragers continually remind believers who Christ is and what he's done. They remind people who they are in him and what he promised them. Encouragers build others up and cheer them on to become great. You can do it. You can make it. You can overcome. You can do it. You can make it. You can overcome. You can do it. You can make it. You can overcome. See how we're picking up speed? The little engines that could. Y'all are the little engines that could. The encourager's message is powerful, truthful, uncompromising, genuine, and real. Encouragers always point people to Christ, who is the master encourager. Did you know that God put Timothy with Paul, who was a great encourager himself? Why? We are still reading letters that Paul wrote and being encouraged by them today. How awesome is that? Now, Timothy did not know that about Paul, but that's who God connected him to. We're still being encouraged to the letters, to the Ephesians, to the Colossians. Encouragers wash people with the word. You didn't know you were getting a spiritual bath today. Amen? So Timothy was an encourager. Moses encouraged people to be fearless. The Lord is always encouraging us, isn't he? You know, right now, he's sitting at the right hand of God praying for you and I. Amen? So what can we take away from this person who had rich faith, a good work ethic, he had impeccable character, and he was an energetic encourager? God is asking you today, what can I make you into if you give your life to me? What can I do through you if you yield to me? What can I do through you if I ask you to do something you've never done before? God is asking us today to trust him with all of our heart, to lean not to our own understanding, but to acknowledge him in all of our ways so that he can direct our paths. Amen. Are you ready to be directed into the right path today? You know, there is a right path and there is a wrong path. One path will lead to hell. The other path will lead to light, and that light will keep getting brighter and brighter as the noonday sun, because ultimately the path will lead to heaven, and heaven doesn't have a generator. Heaven doesn't have a power outage, but there's so much light emanating from the Lamb of God and from the throne that it lights the entire area and has been lighting the entire area for millenniums. So number one, will you trust God as your Savior? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, do not leave here today without knowing him. It's so important. See, if you don't know Jesus, you're one choice away from getting a get out of hell ticket. There's only one way to get out of hell, and that's through Jesus Christ. You need to invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. You need to believe that he's the Son of God. You need to call upon him. Amen? Timothy did that. He became a disciple, a follower, a preacher of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here today in the sound of my voice saying, Pastor, I don't know the Lord, but I sure would like to. I would love the opportunity to introduce him to you. He made it so simple so that no one is left out. If you would just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord, but I would like to. Is there anybody here today that applies to? All right? I don't see any hands, but you can think about it. Maybe you know the Lord, but maybe somehow, some way, you let some things slide. You let some things slip, and you weren't as zealous as you once were. You're not as zealous as you once were. You're not as fervent as you once were. Maybe you're becoming lukewarm. You know, God wants you hot or he wants you cold, but if you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. Come and experience the heat from on high today.